You're listening to another sermon by Pastor Michael Zapata from the Potter's House Christian Church. Let's turn this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 24 as we get into this morning's sermon, which is entitled Faithful to the End. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to be reading from verse 36 through to 39, and a sermon entitled Faithful to the End. After church, there was a young girl that approached her mom after receiving a lesson that Sunday morning on the return of Jesus Christ. And so this little girl began to quiz her mother. She said, "Mom, do you believe that Jesus is coming back?" The mother replied, "Yes, absolutely." This little girl continued and said, could Jesus be coming back today?" "Well, yes," the mother replied. The little girl asked again, "Could he be coming in just a few hours?" The mother said, "Yes, he could come in the next few hours." Again, the daughter asked, "Could he come back right now?" The mother replied, "Yes, he could." With a sign of relief on this little girl's face, she said, "Oh, great, because I drew all over the walls at home and I don't want to be punished for it, so I can't wait for him to come back right now." You know, there's no time like the present that no doubt Jesus' return has been more prevalent. With the signs that have been following, with all the natural disasters and pestilence, famines, no doubt it brings things to the forefront today, recognizing that Jesus could come back at any moment. We are living no longer in the last days, but the last hours. And I want to preach to you a sermon entitled Faithful to the End, because you and I, as believers this morning, have to not go sour in this last hour. We must remain faithful to the very day when Jesus Christ comes back and the end is near. Let's read from the book of Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 39. The Bible says this words, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Faithful to the end. Let's quickly focus on the unknown. Now, there are so many things that cannot be predicted in life. Life holds its own mysteries, and we many times are drawn to try to predict or even foresee the future that is so mysterious and unknown. People go to all types of psychics, and I've seen now that because of COVID-19, you can go on these psychic online forums, and they can predict your future over the interweb. And so, you know, this is something that has always plagued the mind, our minds, to know what the future holds, to be able to understand the unknown. But what we come to realize is that the truth is we don't know, that life is fragile, that our life is but a vapor, and there can be highs and there can also be lows. We recognize as Christians that every day is a gift from God, another opportunity to make a right decision and serve Him and glorify Jesus Christ with our lives. And we have to understand there are so many things that are out of our control. And Jesus reveals this reality when it comes to the coming or the return of the Son of Man. that now the days have come. And in verse 36 of our text, the Bible says, but of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And so here Jesus reassures us that this is beyond you and I. We don't know the day. We don't know the time, the hour that Jesus Christ will be coming back. And so this challenges us to be able to live life correctly every single hour of every single day, that we would live a life with knowing we don't know the future, understanding the gravity of that, and so forth, preparing our hearts daily to be ready for His return. In James chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, come now and say, you who say today or tomorrow will go to such and such city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Here is the book of James that is revealing. You don't know what the future holds. You don't understand what's around the corner or what may happen today. Yes, everything may be fine today, but you cannot predict that that will be consistently throughout the whole year. I can't imagine, had we known what would have happened through these last few months of COVID-19, what would have happened? What would have been our approach? But yet we understand it was unknown, it was not known, it was a mystery, and now we are living in it, and no doubt how quickly we've accelerated to where we are today. Now the context of this scripture reveals the worldwide devastation that was faced so many thousands of years ago, known as the flood. In verse 37 of our text, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, the scripture reveals at how this flood affected the entire world, at how nobody was immune, that people that were there had to either get ready for the flood or suffer the wrath that would come with it. And so we have to understand that here the entire world was going to face a coming judgment, and only one family was able to survive it. And so this reveals the unknown. This reveals the mystery of life, things that catch us off guard, things that maybe we haven't made room for or prepared for in our everyday life. They're unknowns. And can I just say, added to that, the devil is working at keeping or even misguiding people with and regarding the unknown. There are so many people that throughout the centuries, thousands of years have predicted the end times, trying to prove that this would be the day where judgment will fall, the end is coming, and we read about it. A number of years ago, a retired NASA engineer by the name of Edgar C. Went and wrote a book called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. Now, that's already been and gone, and we're still here. Yet this book was self-published, placed the expected date of the rapture between September 11 and September 13, 1988, and became a massive bestseller as a result. In other words, people bought into this lie, this prediction, and more than 4.5 million copies were sold. Now, unfortunately, that date wasn't right. And when that day approached, he said, only if the Bible is an error, I am wrong. And I say that to every preacher in town, I would stake my life on it. Later on, obviously went on to be debunked. But this man, Edgar, did not stop there. He continued to write more predictions, books, believing the time and the dates of the rapture would happen. He wrote one in 1989, then further on, he predicted 1993 and then 1994. Again, every single one of them, not according to the teachings or the scriptures. We know this. Why? Because Jesus himself in our scripture says he doesn't know. And so we see that along with the uncertain and the unknown factors of life, the devil is also working to be able to try to disorientate us or even mislead us, to try to make us feel as though we may know, we may have an understanding, or there are things that have given this exact date away. Now, the second aspect of this scripture is that Jesus reveals regarding to the end times, the element of surprise. We didn't read it in our main text, but it's only just a few scriptures down that Jesus uses the picture of a master who is at his house, unaware that there is a thief scoping out his property to break in and steal all of this man's valuables. In verse 43, the Bible says, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." And so this gives the imagery of ultimately this master and a house that has all these valuables in it, and there is someone ready to steal and take these things away. And so had the master known, he would have prepared, he would have been ready, and he would have taken the precautions. But because he had no understanding, he was left or caught off guard. And so here is this reality, the unknowns, the uncertains. But one thing we can lay a hold of and hold fast to is the fact that we need to be ready while there still is time. We need to get and prepare ourselves for more than just, well, you know, when I feel like going to church or when I feel like logging in or reading my Bible. We must be more actively seeking the scriptures, seeking God's guidance, because I believe we're in the last hours and Jesus Christ is coming back very soon. So let's look secondly this morning, looking at the signs. Now, while we are aware that no one knows the exact time of the end times, we're still given some signs to be able to reference from. The main picture here is of the days of Noah, and one of the things that stands out of the days of Noah is that man's heart was desperately wicked, and this is what brought on this judgment, that God looked down upon humanity and he saw how evil and wicked they were. In Genesis 6, 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so you can just read how devastated God was after he created mankind and placed him in his earth that he created. Now all they want to do is evil. Now all they want to do is rebel against God. And so as a result, God now has to bring a judgment upon all of mankind because of the heart of man. Now this is what caused there to be a great flood, and this is why the world was judged. Now, one thing that I can say in regards to the day and age that we live in is that things have drastically changed, not for the better, but for the worse. That we could almost see it, how things have tipped over the edge when we consider entertainment. What is considered entertaining today compared to what was considered entertaining years ago? It seems as though nothing is sacred today. Nothing is off limits. It seems as though we try to look for something or someone to laugh at or take advantage of for our own self-gain, somehow always wanting to publicize ourselves, whether negative or positive. The image is always something that man is concerned about. Recently, I saw the title of an article that read a young girl who posted her own abortion on a popular social website platform called TikTok. Here is this young girl that with the use of social media, she's now publicizing this brutal murder after conceiving, and no doubt now this hits the platforms of social media, and so one can only fathom what is happening and how can these social platforms allow this to be publicized. No doubt it's clear that there are social medias which allow these sorts of things that you and I need to fight for a fight to be able to keep our children off them. Because these things only promote more wickedness. These things are not what pleases God. And truly we can say the heart of man is desperately wicked today. The perversion, the heartless acts, the crime, the violence, all these things that are accumulating over these years, now we can see at how the signs are real to us. Now, while we can clearly understand and see the state of man's heart being defined as wicked, what I want to focus on this morning are seeing the signs that were in Noah's family. The first prominent sign that we see of the end times was based and centered around the family of Noah. It was a clear separation between the family of God and the families of this world. God gave an instruction to Noah and his family to be carried out, and it would be a group task that would undergo for many years to be able to save Noah and his family. It was Noah who found grace in the eyes of God in Genesis 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and this is what made him a perfect candidate to now do and create this ark. It was his character. It was his behavior. It was his moral stance that stood out in the eyes of God. And can I say to you this morning, our service, our commitment has to be visible to God. That what we do and how we act and what we say is something that gives us that projects an image towards God, and it will either be pleasing or displeasing. Hebrews 11, verse 7, the Bible says, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to his faith." One thing that preserved Noah and his family was maintaining a godly fear. That this was at the center of what God was doing during this time of judgment. That it was Noah that now, as a man who finds grace in the eyes of God, was accomplishing a task because he still feared God. Let me ask you this morning, do you fear God? Has it provoked you enough to actually consecrate your life to Him? That every day and every hour you are living clean and observing the Word of God so that you don't displease Him, but rather that you please Him, with your actions and with your behavior. This is one of the signs that I believe today is a sign of the end times. When church families begin to rally up against the perversion of this world, against the mindsets and the the demonic strategies of the enemy. When church families begin to rise up and say, no, that is unclean, that is off the wall, and bring a judgment, listen, this is a sign of the end times. The second sign we see of the end times in this scripture has to do with the work the family had to accomplish. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 through to 14, the Bible says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourselves an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with a pitch. Here is a work that God gave Noah and his family to accomplish. And this had to do with, basically, despite what everyone else was saying at that time to do, they were given instructions by God. And it was in these instructions that they were given by God. Now it was up to them to do the work that God had given them. Listen to me. The Bible says that it was during the times where they were eating, drinking, marrying, and absolutely frolicking in that freedom, so-called freedom, I should say. All the while, God's family was hard at work, building an ark. They would have walked past and seen Noah's family. What are you guys up to? We're going to a party. Would you like to come? And being reminded, no, 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 there's work to be done. Oh, put it off for another day. Don't worry about it right now. There are other things you can be doing. But yet, here is a family dedicated to the work of God. I can't help to think about today and where we're at and how important it is as a family, the family of Christ, to still continue in His great work. That God hasn't finished doing His work upon this earth. That yes, these are the last days and we ought to be working even harder, because the last hours are upon us. Don't be distracted. Don't be lured away. This is a sign of the end times, that a family would continue the work that God had given them, to make sure that we protect and set things in place. This is not a time to loosen the boundaries. This is not a time to let things go and just let them slide and, oh, this is only just for a season. Listen, right now, what you're doing by tuning in to this service at your home, you're building an ark that will preserve your eternal soul. That when that day of judgment comes, you'll be found right in the eyes of God. See, these are the signs that would be given as a gauge to those who'd be living ungodly lives. Can I ask you this morning, can you see the signs? The wickedness in man's heart, the betrayals, the destruction. Are you seeing the same world that I'm seeing? Can I tell you, this is now the time to rise up, to do God's work, not to let things go, not to let things slide, not to get complacent. You know, like never before, because of COVID-19, churches have had to now meet online, which means like never before have social media platforms been inundated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like never before has there been this many sermons online accessible to anyone around the world at the click of a button. Like never before has the gospel been so accessible. Which means, and this is a frightening thought, can anybody really say, I didn't know? You know, we're waiting for that time where everyone is given an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even in remote places, I wonder, are they removed from the gospel of Jesus Christ? I believe today is a unique time. Like never before has there been the gospel reaching the four corners of the world. Which means it's time. Can you see the signs? Can I remind you that it was Noah and his family that were busy doing the work of God? Even those that were there watching probably left it to the last moment. Yeah, we'll help. We'll get in there when we need to, but not now. Will you continue to put this off, or will you use this time now? The signs, church, it's drizzling. The rain is beginning to fall. The judgment is coming. But are you ready? So I want to look thirdly and in closing at staying safe. There is an old saying, you make your bed, you lay in it. It was Bob Dylan that sung a song and mentioned in one of his songs, you can have your cake and eat it too. And this reveals about the choices that we make every single day, living in the blessing or the consequences of those choices. The trouble is that it's easier to get into trouble than it is to get out. And what you and I need to understand is the principle of sowing and reaping. It's in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And so I have a question for us this morning. Is what you are building able to keep you safe during these overwhelming times? Is the life through the choices that you're making today building a place of refuge, of safety? Or are there cracks in your ark? Because if you and I are going to stay safe, we have to consider the building of the ark. What will keep us safe? Number one is your ability to carry out instructions to the best of your ability. I can't tell you how many times being on site, rocking up to a job site and seeing the lack or the complacent other tradesmen that cut corners or did away with certain materials, and you see the compromise in the overall work. But see, that cannot be said about our lives spiritually. Does not God deserve our best? When we are in His home, in His presence, when we are surrounded by His love and His grace, is not the best what He deserves? Because there are instructions that are given to each and every one of us. And if Noah and his family had cut corners, had done away with certain things, it would have been absolutely detrimental to the integrity of that ark. It wouldn't have saved them. It wouldn't have protected them. You know, I'm always concerned when Christians, so-called Bible-believing Christians, are looking for the loophole. They're looking for the way out. Yeah, but does the Bible, but you know what? It was only for that time. No. You're taking it out of context. Listen, if you're a Christian that's always looking for the loophole, can I say there are cracks in your boat? If you're always looking for the easiest way out, the path of least resistance, I don't want pressure, I don't want accountability, I don't want any responsibility. Listen, what you're building is not going to last, because it's revealing the true state of your heart. If judgment were to fall, would you survive? You know, the parable of the talents. The Bible says that the master came and gave out 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent according to his own ability. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 15. The parable continues and says that the one that had 5 increased by another 5. The one that had 2 again increased by another 2. But the one that had 1 only buried it in the ground. He did the bare minimum. He did the least as possible. And he missed out. He missed out on what the master had for him. Can that be said about your life? Which one are you? Are you the servant that invested and got a return? Or are you the servant that buried it in the ground? I just want to do the bare minimum. Does not our Father in heaven deserve our very best? We ought not to strive to achieve the bare minimum. We ought to strive to give God our very best. Number 2 is your ability. What we're building has to do with your ability to stay consistent and not lose focus to the very end. You know, according to Bible scholars, they believe that the ark took 55 to 75 years to build. Now, unlike many today who start a task and only finish it or half do it or don't do a very good job at it, leave it, and you know what, I'll pick that up some other day. Here is a task that took 55 to 75 years to build. I wonder if they thought this was a huge task. Let's just take a gap year. Imagine if Noah's son came to him and said, you know what, me and my family, we want to just take a year of leave and we'll be back. We just need some time to holiday. All we've been doing is working, doing God's work. We just need a quick break. You know, it's amazing at how we can start well, but I wonder how many can say are consistent and don't lose focus to the end. You know, this has a two-way aspect here. It reveals the patience of God with His own workers, that no doubt the wickedness of man was still wicked for 55 to 75 more years, and God had to put up with their nonsense. And so it reveals the patience of His workers. Noah, will you speed it up? Would you get it done already so we can move on to the next chapter? But it also shows the mercy to the unsaved. That even though it took Noah that long, God still had patience and showed mercy to all those that slandered His name. You know, you and I have been given a task. And it is our duty to consistently follow through with that task like never before. There are people that are watching us as we work, as we log on, as we worship from home. I know that there are neighbors that hear us singing our songs of praise online. Listen to me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Stay focused. Stay consistent in the task that is ahead of us. Let us not forget what we are building. We're building a place of safety, of refuge, hidden from the coming judgment to this world. Our main focus needs to remain building this ark that would preserve us and keep us safe all throughout doing the will of the Father. Don't get distracted. Don't lose heart. Continue in the task. It may be hard. It may be overwhelming. It may be difficult to get up and worship and remain faithful. Listen, like never before, you ought to be focused. These are the last hours. We are living in the last days. We need to stay focused. Let me close with this story of William Booth. William Booth was greatly stirred by the needs of the poor of London and realized that most churches weren't taking this serious in order to be able to reach the undesirables, the drunks, the morphine addicts, the prostitutes and the poor. And so he set out to reach them with something called the three S's: soup, soap and salvation. As a result, thousands were saved amongst their works. They began to reach into the corners of those areas and people's lives were absolutely transformed. Booth gave his life for the cause of reaching others. Now, in William Booth's 80s, Booth's work began to be hindered by blindness. He briefly lost his sight and then he recovered it, but then later on went to permanently losing all his sight. His son Bramwell came to him with the bad news, saying he would never see again. But listen to William Booth's reply. He said, "God must know best, Bramwell. I have done what I could do for God and the people with my eyes. Now I shall do what I can for God and the people without my eyes." You know, he was a man that stayed faithful to the end. He saw the signs. He was aware of the desperate need. And he did something about it. What about you this morning? Is there a task that God is challenging you to accomplish? Are there things that are hindering you? Have you cut corners in the task that is at hand? Have you built something that would ultimately be pleasing to the eyes of God? Because can I tell you that this day is coming when all will be revealed, where our deepest, darkest secrets, the things that we've had harboring in our hearts will be all revealed, and God forbid your life, my life, would not be pleasing to the eyes of God. This is our challenge, to stay faithful to the end. Let's get busy with doing what God has called us to do. Let's continue to elevate the name of Jesus Christ in our homes, in our workplaces, wherever we are. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Preach it and allow God to use your life as an instrument for His kingdom. Hallelujah. Why don't we quickly bow our heads this morning? Let's close our eyes. We're going to have a time where God can deal with each and every one of us this morning. So while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, I want to give an appeal for anyone that's listening, you're watching this morning. You recognize you're not a Christian, you're not saved. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe it's a time that you went to church, you read your Bible, but through the course of time, you've drifted apart. You've gone astray, and you're no longer saved this morning. I'm here to declare to you, beloved, that despite our distance, Jesus Christ can reach into your heart wherever you are, save you and deliver you from your sin. But beloved, I'm here to let you know that sin is a curse and sin will take you straight to hell. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so while you're watching this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to repent of your sins and invite Jesus Christ to come into your life, to give you a brand new start so that when you die, you can make heaven your home. And so this morning, this is an appeal right now to pray a prayer, repenting of your sins and inviting Jesus Christ into your life. While every head's bowed and every eye's closed in the presence of God, God wants to meet with you this morning. If God's dealing with you, there is a button that you can hit and we'll have someone get in contact with you and lead you through a sinner's prayer. If that's you, the conviction of the Holy Ghost is arresting your heart this morning. I want you to hit that button. We'll have someone pray for you right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Then changing the order of the service, I want to speak to Christians this morning. There is a temptation right now upon all Christians to kind of loosen the reins, get complacent, get comfortable. But I'm here to urge you, we're living in the last hours. It's no time to be distracted. It's no time to lose focus. It's time to be busy building the kingdom of heaven so that more will be saved. Your family that are not saved, God wants to reach them through your life. Your colleagues that you work with every day, God wants to reach them through your life. But it requires you being willing to be faithful to the very end. Step out in faith and allow God to use your life. Let's see what God can do in these last hours before the end comes. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's all I have for you this morning. I want to quickly pray, seal off in a word of prayer. I want to thank you for your attendance. Don't forget our evening service this evening at 6 p.m. And let's be there promptly. Save yourself a online seat and be ready to hear from God. Let's seal off in a word of prayer. Father God, we're so thankful once again for your word that is challenging, stirring our hearts every single day to be focused on your work, on your purposes and plans. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to do away with all our distractions, every temptation of this world. Lord, expose every lie and help us to be able to see what you have called us to do. Help us to be busy doing and accomplishing it. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would equip us, that you would overshadow us, so that we can be pleasing to you. We're asking your blessing upon each and every one of us. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you, and until I see you online.